Welcome to the latest episode of our Ag Plus Bio Plus Science podcast, presented by Agrinovis Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick, the host of Inside Indiana Business, also the host of this weekly podcast, where we have in-depth conversations with leaders, innovators, entrepreneurs in Indiana's ag bioscience sector. It's the sector where food, agriculture, science, and technology all converge. This week, excited to sit down with Evan Rochford, the CEO of Nutramaize. And Evan, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Give us a little bit. The Nutramaize is a fascinating story, and you've got orange corn, mm-hmm. right? So that in and of itself is interesting. But give us a little bit of your background and your path to starting Nutramaize.
Yeah, so I think that it's interesting because my co-founder is also my father. And so my path to Nutramaize kind of started long before I realized it did. And you know, when I was growing up, I was, exposed to my father's work. I started working in the cornfields, pollinating corn when I was, a teenager. Mm-hmm.
And your dad was a professor at Purdue, right?
Yeah, he's a professor at Purdue. Now he was at Illinois before that. And when I first started out in the cornfields, my father, he'd meet his colleagues out there and they would, be totally geeking out about the angle of the leaves and the structure of the tassel and all these things. And I was like, what? What are you guys talking about? And then, the more time that I spent around the plants and working with them, I really started to see the beauty in the genetic diversity of corn and how there's so much natural variation. And, a corn plant isn't just a corn plant. You know, when I first got out there, I was like, oh, it's just corn, right? But mm-hmm. there's actually this huge amount of diversity that you can work with.
Nutramaize. How did talk about the formation, the creation of Nutramaize, and this orange corn? Mm-hmm. I know folks can't see the corn that you have here at our podcast studio, mm-hmm. but it is unique in that mm-hmm. it is very orange.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, my father is my co-founder. He is the one who sort of originated this variety. He started working on it in the mid-1990s. And so he's a geneticist and plant breeder. And so he's really spent his career figuring out what the genes that already exist in corn, what they influence in terms of expression in the plant. And so in the mid-1990s, he got really interested in carotenoids, which are natural antioxidant pigments, the same things that make carrots orange. And he really wanted to kind of find out, yellow corn has a little bit of carotenoids. Could we breed varieties that have more, right? Could we make corn more nutritious? And could we do it just through breeding and selection, right? Not by introducing, genes from other plants and using transgenic technologies. And a lot of people didn't think that, it was really going to be possible to get to the levels they wanted to achieve. But, he found the diversity and he's been working on it for more than 20 years. And so he started it in the mid-90s, and then the early 2000s, a program called Harvest Plus started. And Harvest Plus is a international biofortification effort. And so what that means is the goal is to naturally breed varieties of staple crops that are more nutritious. And so, in the instance of corn, in a lot of places in sub-Saharan Africa, white corn is the primary staple crop, right? So people might even get the majority of their calories in a day from corn. So the idea is that it's really difficult to change people's, eating behaviors and cultural preferences and even production practices. And so the idea with biofortification is rather than going in and saying, hey, you need to grow a different crop, it's saying, look, you can keep eating corn, just, use this variety that's more nutritious. And so it plugs right into the infrastructure, right into, the cultural practices. And it's a really effective way to deliver more nutrition on a population-wide scale.
Talk about the acceptance, the traction that Nutramaize is getting. You mentioned being able to help feed the world and mm-hmm. nutrition issues and those types of things. But overall, what's been the market reaction?
Yeah, and so I'll clarify. So we are partnering with the organization Harvest Plus mm-hmm. To help promote things globally. But as a company, we're really focusing here in the United States and in North America, and here the reaction has really been overwhelmingly positive. So we've had a lot of people, a lot of online reviews talking about our product, which we currently sell on Amazon grits, you know, minimally processed. We just take the corn and we mill it, and you know, you can cook it up. We've had people just talking about how they're the best grits they've ever had. You know, that they have this creamy texture, they have a richer flavor that's nutty and buttery, and you know, because for the most part, corn's kind of just been a bland starch. You know, it's kind of it's been fairly basic, and so you know, we're really trying to elevate that. And I think one of the things that really differentiates us from you know, traditional, let's say, plant breeding and genetics company is, you know, their customer is the farmer who's focused, you know, almost entirely on yield, and because that's how they make their money, by selling more corn. Whereas we're using a different kind of business model, which I call a consumer focused agriculture business model, where we're controlling everything through contract production, from the breeding and seed production to the growing, the processing, and then the sale of the final product. And by doing that, we're able to focus on breeding for traits that are really important to the consumer, like flavor, you know, like texture, like nutrition. And then we're able to go all the way back to the beginning and bring that through and capture that added value.
You mentioned the consumer, and you're selling on Amazon, but you're also, I believe, in some restaurants as well, right? Talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. So we've had a really good reaction from chefs. Actually, a number of the Upland Brewing Company locations is now featuring the grits. And, you know, people really, the chefs really like the, you know, the uniqueness of the product. I mean, there's the culinary attributes, which I've discussed, but one of the other things that's appealing to restaurants is it has a really great origin story, right? So this is something that they can talk to their patrons about and really have sort of that nice interaction around a food product that isn't just, you know, your standard thing. It's something that's really interesting, and it also is making a difference.
You were part of Agrinovus's Ag Plus Bio Plus Science Startup Showcase. You walked away with the People's Choice Award, which is very exciting. But also, you participated in the Forbes Ag Tech Summit in Indianapolis. You've done other entrepreneurial events around the state. Any events that stand out? And from a startup standpoint, what are the benefits of these kinds of events?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I'll kind of answer this a little bit more broadly. Rather than talking about a specific event, I think that, you know, both those events that you mentioned and, you know, some of the other ones that Agrinovus puts on, they're great for me and I think for other ag bioscience entrepreneurs, because the ag biosciences are a pretty different business than, say, technology, you know, B2B SaaS. You know, I have a friend who's has a B2B SaaS company, and you know, I asked him, "Oh, hey, what's your long-term goals? Like, what's, you know?" He's like, "You mean like the next 18 months?" And I'm like, "That's my inventory planning cycle." You know, so it's a different kind of time scale when you're looking to do something with a product that has to grow, and there's a growing season. And even if you're selling, you know, software, you know, farmers, you know, they have their growing season, and there's a natural sales cycle there. And so I think that what Agrinovus is doing and what the Forbes Ag Tech Summit is doing and convening this community that, you know, has those things in common, is really powerful, you know, and that's one of the things I was really excited about, the new quadrant event that Agrinovus launched, because I think that, you know, as an entrepreneur, your coworkers, I mean, you have people in your company, but also kind of your coworkers are the other people in the entrepreneurial ecosystem, right? They're kind of your peers. So it's great to see them and to catch up with them, but also really to share those experiences that, you know, help you kind of navigate this, this interesting journey.
You know, all startups have to be ready, have to be quick to adapt, change course when necessary. What are some of the challenges that you faced as an entrepreneur and maybe learned from fellow ag tech entrepreneurs at the same time?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think that, you know, people talk about, you know, pivoting, right, and being ready to adapt. And I think those are, you know, it's really important. It's really important to be able to recognize when something's not working, right? You don't want to be too invested in a bad idea, right? You know, you don't want to let inertia carry you on when that's not the direction you should be going in. At the same time, there's kind of the, on the flip side, there's focus, right? Mm-hmm. And when you start a company and you have a new product, it's really exciting. It's like everything's new and you know, and then you keep going and then it's really more about repeating and systematizing and maintenance and maybe it's not quite as sexy. And so there's that part of you that wants to kind of have that excitement and that rush from, you know, doing something new. And that can be really dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can get shiny object syndrome. You can overcommit yourself. You can pull yourself in too many different directions. You can not support, you know, the things that you're already doing. And mm-hmm. you know, in my a business that I started before NutriMaize, I learned that lesson the hard way, right? Mm-hmm. I went chasing after opportunity rather than really focusing on the fundamentals of mm-hmm. the business and making sure that we were on sure footing. And so. You know, that's definitely something I've talked about with other entrepreneurs. And like I mentioned, having that community and sharing those experiences and, you know, being able to bounce ideas and, you know, how you're kind of feeling and thinking about things off someone, you know, or with someone mm-hmm. that has sort of that shared experience of having to kind of navigate, you know, these choppy waters.
Yep. Final question for you. What can we expect? What's next for NutriMaize?
Yeah, so, you know, I just mentioned focus. you know, I think that, you know, for us, it's interesting because, you know, we're working with corn, and there's like 1,000 different things you can do with corn. And so focus definitely has been something that we've had to actively, you know, make sure is a priority. And because long term, we have a lot of different opportunities that we could pursue. You know, there's opportunities in the animal feed markets, right, to promote animal health. There's opportunities in, you know, working with large CPG companies and you know, maybe supplying an ingredient to make a cereal or something like that. But sort of, I think that in the near term, what we're really focusing on is doing the research and development that we need so that we're ready to scale, that we're ready mm-hmm. to take on some of these broader opportunities. And we actually recently received a Phase 2 National Science Foundation STTR award, which is about $750,000. Mm-hmm. So that will really fund our R&D program for the next 2 years and get us ready to sort of take that next step, that leap into these broader markets. But in the meantime, you know, we're really going to be focusing on building our own brand, Professor Torbert's Orange Corn, and really focusing on bringing that to as many people, getting retail placement. You know, I mean, the ultimate goal is to become a nationally distributed and recognized mm-hmm. retail brand. But that doesn't happen overnight, and it's not mm-hmm. something that you can kind of do on the side. You know, this is really right now recognizing, you know, what we've recognized is we have a really great product that we're selling right now. And so now it's about executing, you know, that plan to take it to the next level rather than going off and chasing some of these, you know, big opportunities, knowing that those are on the horizon, preparing ourselves mm-hmm. to one day pursue those, but maintaining that focus on what do we need to do today, next week, next month to make those incremental steps mm-hmm. to take this to where it needs to go.
Evan Rochford is the CEO of NutriMaize. It's an exciting and very interesting ag bioscience company. Evan, thanks for being on the podcast this week, and good luck.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again, Evan, for your insights into the ag bioscience space and for joining us today on the Ag Plus Bio Plus Science podcast. This is a weekly production partnership between Agrinovis Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. And before we leave you this week, a reminder, Agrinovis Indiana has announced the date for its 2019 Ag Bioscience Innovation Summit. That date is November 20, and this year I'll be joining as a featured speaker. I'm looking forward to that. So to learn more about the November 20th Ag Bioscience Innovation Summit, just visit agrinovisindiana.com/summit. It is and promises to be a great event. And thanks for joining us on this latest edition of our podcast. I'm Gary Dick. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a product of Inside Indiana Business, hosted by Gary Dick, produced by Libby Fritz and Joe Ullery, and was recorded on location at Launch Fishers. More people get Indiana business news from Inside Indiana Business than any other source.